see. Okay, Parshas Miketz begins, Vayihi Miketz Shnasayim Yamim. It happened at the end of 2 years. Mamash to the day, Uparo Cholem, Paro had a dream. Paro Cholem, Paro was dreaming. Vihine Omed Al Hayor, he was standing over the river, and he sees these very strange cows emerging from the Yor. First he sees healthy, normal cows eating. And then 7 other cows come out of the water. And they're of strange appearance, of unhealthy appearance. They're very skinny and they're ugly. And they're standing alongside these other cows. And the 7 skinny cows eat up the 7. They swallow up the 7 healthy cows. And then he sees the same dream with the grains of the ears of grain. Okay, so says the Degel Machin Ephraim, V'hi miketz shnasayim yamim uparo chalim. It was at the end of 2 years that Paro had a dream. Right? Now Yosef God, if you remember the end of last week's parasha ended off on the word Vayishkachehu, and he forgot him. The Sar HaMashkim had forgotten about Yosef, and that was a punishment for Yosef, because when Yosef asked the Sar HaMashkim, please remember me, and mention me Latov before Paro, so that lack of emuna and bitachon in Hashem caused Yosef to get 2 more years in jail. Okay, it's obviously a very fitting word for last week's parasha at the end on, Vayishkachehu, Shechecha, right? Lashkicham Torasecha, that's what Yavon's about. The Zohar connects Vayishkachehu. Zohar makes that connection that we spoke about a few times. Forgetting and Choshech, the same letters. Shachach and Choshech are the same letters. But Yosef got an extra 2 years in jail, and now Paro has his dream, which will eventually, you know, help Yosef interpret the dream and get out of jail. Okay? Says the Gemachan Ephraim, Rabu Bekan HaDikdukim. There's a lot of little questions we could ask over here. First of all, Shnasayim Yamim Ein Lo Be'er. Right? Shnasayim Yamim, how would you translate Shnasayim Yamim? Well, Archul translates it here as the end of 2 years. Right? And we have that elsewhere in the Torah, that Yamim sometimes refers to a year. Right? But what does that mean, shnasayim yamim? A little strange to refer to, why do we refer to a year as yamim? A yom is a day. Right? Yamim are days. So that's hard to understand. And second of all, I told you it says paro cholem. Paro was dreaming. Why doesn't it say more pashut, vayaroi lomer, vayachalom paro? Paro dreamt. Right? So paro cholem. Okay. You'll see he's not going to fully answer those questions, but he'll allude to answering those questions. He says the following yesod. It sounds like a very deep and Kabbalistic idea. We're going to keep it super pashut. V'nira lefi ani azdaiti. Mashachanani Hashem berachamav uverov chasadav. What makes sense to me, my understanding that Hashem has bestowed upon me. Ki yesh bekan sod nifla hanizkar le'al. There's a deep secret here that I mentioned in the previous parsha. We didn't learn it last week. Let's see what it is. Shekibalti min Adoni Mori Zekeni Zatzal, which I heard from my grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov. Kishemalchus hi chas v'shalom b'lo yichur imbala, mizeh b'kol ha-ra'us chas v'shalom. When Malchus is disconnected from its Baal, from its husband, from the one who it's supposed to be attached to, that causes all of the negativity to come to the world. Okay, we'll explain in 1 second. But when Malchus is connected to Hashem, Mizeh b'kol ha-tovos v'hashpaos shefa u'parnasa v'chayim v'shalom. So Baal Shem Tov said there's this big thing, that when Malchus is connected properly, all good things come to the world. When something is disconnected, when Malchus is disconnected from Hashem, when it's disconnected from its Baal, then everything falls apart. Let's explain with a story that Rav Tzadok brings in 2 places in his Sefer Pri Tzadok. Rav Tzadok, Kohen of Lublin. He has it by Pesach and he has it in Parshas Naso. What's the story? The story, it's a great little story. The story is that the Rebbe Reb Zusha was once traveling with his Hasidim. And there was a non-Jewish fellow who was traveling alongside them, nearby. And all of a sudden, this non-Jew who's transporting these big bales of hay, all of a sudden this huge thing of hay falls off of his wagon and it lands in the mud. So he says to Reb Zusha and the Hasidim, he says, Chevra, you know, do you think you can help me put this big bale of hay back on the wagon? So they say, we're sorry, we're not able to help you. Not sure why they didn't want to help. They said, sorry, we can't help you. We're not able to help you. I don't know if they felt they can't stop. They're traveling with the Rebbe. They have to give their attention to the Rebbe. They didn't want to, you know, whatever it was. I'm not sure what the cheshbon was. They said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, sir. You know, you have to wait till the next group that comes by. They'll help you pick up this big thing of hay that you can't lift on your own. So he says to them, this non-Jewish wagon driver says to them, he says, don't tell me you're not able to help me. You don't want to help me. You're able. You're able-bodied people. It's not important enough to you. For whatever reason, you're not interested in helping me. Don't say, you said you're not able to help. We can't help you. You could help me. Don't say you can't help me. You could help me lift up the hay. You just don't want to help me. Okay. And they traveled on. So Reb Zusha said to the Hasidim, he said, did you hear what just happened? They said, yeah, you know, he gave us Musar, but whatever, you know, again, I'm not judging whether they made the right decision or wrong decision in terms of helping this fellow, whatever their cheshbon was. Reb Zusha said, but did you hear what happened? We said to him, we're not able to help him lift the hay. And he said back to us, it's not that you're not able to, don't tell me you're not able to, it's that you're not trying hard enough, you don't want to, it's not important enough to. You're able to do it if you put your attention to it. It's not one of your goals right now. So Reb Zusha said, we know that Hashem's name, Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, right? Those four letters, the goal is that they should be connected. We know from the end of Parshas B'Shalach that Amalek comes and blocks out part of Hashem's name, Ki Yad Al Kes Ka. Amalek's hand is on the throne of Yud and Hey, obscuring the Vav and Hey. Amalek is blocking out half of Hashem's name. Our job is to try to give Hashem's name connection and full expression in the world. So now, let's connect it. I'll tell you what Reb Zusha was saying when you understand what the Degel Machane Ephraim is saying here. The four letters of Hashem's name correspond to the different Sviros. So Yud is the Sfira of Chachma. He is the Sfira of Bina. Vav represents the next six. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. And the final Hey is the sphere of Malchus. So what did the Degel Machane Ephraim tell us? It's very important that the Malchus shouldn't be disconnected from the three letters that come before it, right? Malchus should be connected to its husband. Malchus should be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, we have the bulk of Hashem's name, Yod, Hey, and Vav. And now we have this final Hey. It's very important that final Hey, make sure it attaches itself. So Reb Zusha said, we're in this fourth and final gullus. Right? Each gullus, so to speak, corresponds to a letter. We're trying to illuminate God's presence in the world. Right? And it's been 2,000 years. We didn't bring Mashiach yet. So why don't we bring Mashiach? If I ask you, why don't we bring Mashiach? We say, we can't. We're not able to. So Hashem put into the mouth of that simple wagon driver to say to Reb Zusha and his Talmidim, don't tell me you can't bring Mashiach. Don't tell me you can't lift up the hay. Lift up the hay means, so to speak, right? The Shechina, we talk about the Shechinta Begalusa, the Shechina, which is also that final hay, is in Galus. We talk about, so to speak, the fallen hay. That's exactly what happened in the story. The hay fell off the wagon, the fallen hay in the mud. So don't tell me, says the non-Jewish wagon driver, you're not able to lift up the hay. You're definitely able to. You don't want to. So Reb Zusha was very shaken by it. He said, wow, Hashem says the same thing to us. We think, oh, we don't know how to make your presence known in the world, Hashem. And Hashem says, don't tell me you can't. Tell me it's not important to you. Tell me you're not focused on it. You're not working on it. But don't tell me you can't. Yeah, Yosef.
So on the yud, there's a crown.
That's right. The crown on the yud is the keser. Okay. That's right. That's the last. No, I didn't say it. That's the last. Right. That's the last dimension. So you have the point on top of the yud. The crown on the yud is keser. The yud itself is chachma. The first hay is bina. Vav is the next six. And it's through those six, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, it's through those six that Hashem is bringing down all of that goodness to the world. But if there's no Kli to catch it, if there's no final Hey, which is, again, that feminine letter to be on the receiving end, right? If the Zachar is Mashpia, his Zara, and there's no woman to take it and to fertilize her egg, so then it's wasted, and it's lost. The potential for life, for creation is lost. So now, With that understanding of the little story, it's an amazing little story. Again, the Tzaddok tells in two places in Pradik. So now we understand a little bit more in a strong way why it's so important to make sure that Malchus, that final Hey, is connected. If there's a disconnect, it means all of the brother that Hashem is sending down to this world If we don't receive it, what happens to it? It's not just, well, chaval, it's a loss. No, it's bad, right? It could be damaging. Take rain, for example. Yeah? Is rain a good thing or a bad thing? Well, in proper measure, if it lands in the right place at the time, right, in the right way, then it's great. It sustains the world. It allows things to grow. Right? If there's too much rain, or if there's not enough rain, if the rain is not properly being received, or if it's raining in the wrong times, right, then the crops can get destroyed. So when Hashem is sending down His Shefa to this world, if we're on the receiving end and we're properly in place to receive it, it's Kavaldik, all the bracha in the world. But if there's a disconnect, if the hay is not in its place, if what he's calling here is in the letter hay, he's calling Malchus, if Malchus is not connected, if there's a disconnect, then it actually brings tremendous destruction to the world. I'll give you one more example. Take Noah, yeah.
What about Sukkos, when it rains on Sukkos?
When it rains on Sukkos, yeah, so that's not a bracha. So that's not a bracha. Rain on Sukkos is not a bracha. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, right? You can have something which is so good in the right way and so destructive and so terrible. Rain, which is a bracha most of the time, rain on Sukkos is a klala, right? So it's all a question of being able to receive it in the right way. So again, take the flood by Noah. I think we alluded to it once, that the Sfarim say that really Hashem wanted to give the Torah in the time of Noah. Ashi tells us in Parshas Noah that Noah learned Torah. The problem was that the world was not ready to receive it. Hashem wanted to bring an abundance of Torah to the world. Ein mayim ala Torah. Bava kama daf yud zayin. Torah is compared to water. So what happens if you're not ready to receive Torah? You receive a flood, right? An unbelievable amount of water. And it was destructive water. It could have been Kabbalah Satorah. Noach could have been the Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak. There's a lot of connections, Alpi Panemius, between Moshe and Noach. Right? The Gemara says, where is Moshe's name hinted to in the Torah? Quotes a pasuk in Parshas Noach. I don't need a hint to Moshe in Parshas Noach. Because Noach was the time when the Torah was supposed to be given. That's why you look in the Midrashim on Parshas Noach. It talks a lot about Kabbalah Satorah. It's very interesting. And I crept into the Midrashim in Parshas Noach. Why? So Tzadikim explained, because there really was supposed to be Kabbalah Satorah. But if you can't receive it, Mamish, the greatest Chorban. So that's what the Baal Shem Tov is saying here. When Malchus, again, he's saying it using Kabbalistic language, but again, I'm trying to make it very, very real for us. Right? When a Jew is properly connected, when Malchus is connected to its husband, when the Vav and the Hay, so to speak, are connected to each other, and there could be a proper, right? Look at the letter Vav. The letter Vav is like a pipe. Yeah? It's a tzinor. It's able to channel down all of that goodness. And the letter hey has to be, again, on the receiving end to be makabalit. So when it's properly connected, all the goodness and all the shefa and all the parnasa and all the chayim and all the shalom comes to the world. If, God forbid, it's not connected, right, then it makes a big mess. V'chol ha-mekatrigim b'telim muvutalim. When it's properly connected, all of the kitrug, all of the negativity, right, is negated because Hashem's presence is clear in the world. There's a powerful flow of godliness in the world. The kategor nasa sanegor, and the accusers become, the prosecutors become defense attorneys, right? Meaning that which can be against us becomes for us. Umalach rab al karcho yana amin. And the bad malach has to answer amin, right? He's paraphrasing the Gemara that says that every Friday night we come back to our home. We walk into our home, and what happens? We're escorted by angels. And if the home is Shabbistic, if it's ready to receive Shabbos Malkasa, if the Shabbos queen has a place there, so then what? Then the Malach Ra has to, you know, so to speak, say Amen to what he sees. And if, God forbid, the house is a mess, and it's not Shabbistic, right? So then the good Malach has to, so to speak, surrender to the bad Malach. Right? The angels escort us home. On Friday night, Shalom Aleichem, Malach HaYashar, it's Mamish. Okay? So when we are properly connected, the flow is correct, and the, so to speak, the Malach Ra is put in his place, and it has to surrender to Hashem's presence in the world. Now, what does that have to do with our pasuk? It's a powerful idea. We explained it with a nice story from the Rebbe Rizusha, but what does that have to do with our parsha? V'hine yadua midos nikra'im yamim. We know that midos, the midos, chesed, gvura, teferes, netzach, hod, yesod, these ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses himself in the world are called yamim. As the pasuk says, Sheshes Yamim Asa Hashem. 6 days Hashem created. Of course, the Pasha Pshat is talking about the 6 days of creation, But it's also talking about the six Sviros, by which that Vav, which Hashem is piping down all the goodness to the world. So Hashem made it that we're able to receive. B'sheshes lo nemar ele sheshes. It doesn't say in 6 days God created. It says sheshes. God created six. Six is that Vav. Again, the Vav is the masculine mashpia, trying to send bracha down. V'kodesh baruch hu nikra yom, shekol al kol hayamim v'amidos. And God is sometimes called yom, because Hashem, find in Kabbalistic sources, Hashem is called Yom, because Hashem is the one who, again, directs all of these midos. Okay. V'hine shana gematria svira. Okay. Shana is gematria svira, 355. So what? V'ze yesh lomar. So now we come back to our pasuk and we see something very, very deep. V'yihi miketz shnasayim. In other words, it was at the end of shnasayim. But we just said shana is gematria svira. So it was at the end of the sviras. That's how he wants to read it. It was at the end of the sviras. V'hi miketz shnasayim. It was at the end of the sviras. Hainu oso shehu sof kol asviras shi malchus. And what does the pasuk say? V'hi miketz shnasayim yamim. Yamim, we said, represents, again, that flow into this world. So it was at the bottom of the sviras. Okay. Interesting. Hainu. Kishemisyached im hamidos v'ashem yisparach. When vayihi miketz shnasayim yamim, it'll be that when the bottom of the spheros is properly connected. Again, this is what we're living through right now. This last galus is really just about trying to lift up that hay. It's trying to make that connection, right? And that's why we see in the world there's people who are focusing on connection more. Right? There's a lot of desire to be connected. There's a lot of disconnect also. Right? But the longing, the superficiality of connection that we see in our world, and the longing for deep connection that people are seeking in the world, a lot of that's about trying to just reattach that final hey to Hashem's name, to bring the geula. So when there's a proper connection, haynu kishem misyachid im hamidos v'Hashem yisparach, oz bevada is ratzon v'kategor nasa sanegor. When it's properly connected, then, so to speak, the kategor, the prosecuting angels, the negativity of the world will be negated in the face of the positive forces. Uva kol atovos la'olam berafua uparnasu ubracha v'chayim v'shalom v'chol minei tovos mamarim lavo ki kategor nasa sanegar. He keeps talking about kategor nasa sanegar. This is a hard piece, and one of the reasons I picked it is to tell you the following. Here's what I heard from this Duchina Rebbe a couple of years ago. Amazing remes. We just read Parshas Vayeshev last week, right? Before Hanukkah. Shabbos Chanukah is almost always Parshas Miketz. Not always, but right? It depends how far that. You could have two Shabbos in Chanukah. But Miketz is Shabbos Chanukah. And then Vayigash is after Chanukah. Okay? So the Devar HaRafar keeps talking about this process in Parshas Miketz of turning the kategor into the sanegor, right? Turning the prosecutor into a defense attorney. So here's what the Suchina Rebbe said, not in the context of this, but it's amazing. It's almost the Suchina Rebbe, Reb Matl Zilber, was revealing, in a certain sense, what was hinted to here. Okay, what's the gematria of kategor and what's the gematria of sanegor? Take a look on the page in front of you. He said it four times now. How much is kategor?
256.
You have a ratio of kuf, so that's 200 and 100. That's 300. Kategor is 318. Okay, what? Okay, let's see. Good. We're going to go a different route, but good. Okay, what's Sanegor? Sanegor, you have a Resh, that's 200, a Samach and a Nun, that's another 110, so that's 310, and a Gimel and a Vav is 319. Okay? So Kategor, which means the prosecutor, is 318. Sanegor, the Malach that comes to protect you, is 319. Okay? Now, watch this. One of the first things I heard from the Suchina Rebbe is unbelievable. What's the gematria of Parshas Vayeshev? The parsha we read right before Hanukkah. Vav, Yud, Shin, Bez. 318. Okay? What's the gematria of Vayigash? The parsha we read right after Hanukkah. 319. Okay? So somehow, Parshas Miketz and Hanukkah helps us to get from Kategor to Sanegor. Vayeshev is gematria Kategor. Vayigash is gematria Sanegor. So how does that happen? How do we make that happen? What's the gematria of Miketz? This week's parsha, this Shabbos. Miketz is 230. Good. And what happens when Miketz coincides with Chanukah? Let's add Chanukah to Miketz. How much is Chanukah? Chanukah is 89. All right, so what's 230 plus 89? 319. Right. So Vayeshev, at the end of Parsha Vayeshev, you end off on this terrible cliffhanger. Yosef's wallowing in a dungeon. Vayishkacheyu, and the Shechecha, and the Choshech of Yavan is hanging over us. There's a tremendous Kitrug, a Kategor. That comes along Miketz with Chanukah, and it turns it into a Sanegor. And then we have Parsha Vayigash, which is Gavachi Sanegor. You hear? You got it? Vayeshev is Kategor. Miketz with Chanukah is Sanegor. And then Vayigash is also Sanegor. So it must be, again, the Machan Ephraim doesn't bring any of these from Muslim, but he keeps talking about this Inyan. Why talk about Kategor Sanegor? We think about it, you know, in terms of like, it's like a Yom Noram, Yom Kippur type of thing. It could be also Chanukah also. Is in a certain sense the end of the Yom Noram. So maybe that's why he's so caught on these Lashonos. But let's finish the piece. So what happens? So here's the punchline. So again, it'll be at the end of Shnasayim Yamim. It'll be at the bottom of the Sviros when we reconnect properly and we turn that Kategor into a Sanegor. So what happens? Uparo Cholem. How does he understand Paro Cholem? Again, kind of deep here, but let's see. Vahu Shemarame, Uparo. Paro's Osios Pera. Right? That we find all over the place. Paro is pe-ra. Evil speech, negative speech. What does a kategor do? What does a prosecuting angel do? He speaks against you. He testifies against you. It's the lawyer who's trying to drag you down in court. Right? How does he make his case? Through speech. Of course, Chanukah, we're using a lot of positive speech. L'hodos l'hala. So Paro, we take Paro, we take that pe-ra, we take that accusing angel, and what? Cholem. He says, Cholem is the same letters as Chomel. Chomel means Rachmanis. We turn the one who's trying to slander us into someone who's going to support us. So to speak, the Pera, the bad Malach who wants to say bad against us, is forced to say good. Okay, so again, it's a very deep idea. Again, the yesod of it is very important for us to think about. How can I make sure that my malchus is connected to Yesod? Again, it sounds very Kabbalistic, but it's a simple idea. How do I make sure that my actions in the Olam HaMaisa, in the realm of malchus, are connected properly to be able, am I making myself a kli to receive Hashem's bracha in this world? Because if I'm not, and then I have complaints, oh, God doesn't give me parnasa, God doesn't give me good health, God doesn't give me yeshidach, God doesn't give me this, God doesn't... So you ask yourself, am I properly attached? If I'm not attached, then I can't receive. Then of course, whatever's being, you know, sent through that pipeline is going to just be, you know, falling all over the place, and it's going to be actually destructive. Not only will it not be receiving it in a positive sense, but it'll be wasted, and that itself is negative. Okay, all right. Let's turn the page, a couple pages. Yeah.
Why did he tie in Kategor also to negate the whole world?
What was happening here?
Yeah.
Again, he's saying if you connect your pieces, if the malchus is connected to the letters of Hashem's name that come before it, if the lowest realm, us, feel connected to Hashem above, if we make sure that there's that bond, that connection, so then paro, then the pera, then the malach who wants to say bad against you, cholem, will be chomel. He'll be forced to say good. He'll be forced to say good things about you. Okay? Because again, there's always this power struggle, kiviyachol, that takes place above. And there's kochos of negativity that are trying to stop us from being on the receiving end. But if we attach ourselves to Hashem, right, if there's no room for him to get... Right, the Chazal say, the nachash likes to find the breach in the fence. It's also very yavandik, right? Upartzu chomos migdalai. If there's a hole in the fence, so then all sorts of trouble can get in. As long as we're perfectly connected to Hashem, there's no gap in the fence... If Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey are all connected to each other without any break, if the hay is not falling in the mud, again going back to Ramzusha's mushel, not a mushel, real story, when that wagon driver's hay fell off the wagon, he got stuck in the mud, right? Got stuck in the mud, Yavan is also mud. David HaMelech says, save me from the tit hayavein, save me from the mud, yavein, same letters as Yavan, is mud. Save me, get me out of the mud, pull me out of the mud. Right? So as long as we're connected, then Yavan can't. Then the bad malachim have to say, okay, we're moda, give him bracha, give him shefa, give him parnasa, give him health, give him everything. But when we disconnect, that's where the malach, you know, the kategor gets in the way and causes a lot of trouble. Okay, all right. I'll show you one more little piece, and then one more slightly lengthier piece. Okay, let's go to Vayarkev Oso b'merkeves ha-mishnah asher lo. So Yosef, of course, has this unbelievable mahapecha in this week's parsha, and he comes out, and he interprets the dreams, and all of a sudden, he's unbelievably beloved in everyone's eyes, right? And Yosef is made Mishnah LaMelech, he's second in command, and he's given the Merkeves HaMishnah, the second royal chariot. The only one who's higher than him in Mitzrayim is Paro himself. Okay. Now, in light of the that beautiful siyam on Seder Nezikin that Jeremy made last night, for those who were at the Chanukah party, so let's learn about Yosef's connection to Mishnah. Because Chanukah, we said many times, is very much connected to Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef is connected to Mishnah. How so? Look at this. Very interesting. This is like a good piece to just file away in the back of your mind. I'm not sure exactly what to do with it, but it's a short little piece. Let's see. Ve'arkev oso merkeves ha-mishnah asher lo. Paro gave Yosef the second royal chariot, and he was put in charge of it. And they would, you know, pull the wagon, and they called Yosef tzachtas paneach, and they called him avreich, and they gave him all sorts of beautiful clothing. Okay. He rode him in the second chariot, asher lo, that was his. What do you mean asher lo? What do you mean asher lo for? It appears to be extra. We know, going back to when Yosef was first finding the favor of his father and not so much the favor of his brothers, it says that Yaakov loved Yosef because he was his ben zekunim. Right? Back at the beginning of Vayeshev, V'Yisrael ahavas Yosef mikol banav. Yaakov loved Yosef more than all of his other children. Ki ben zekunim hu lo, because he was his child of old age. He gave birth to him late in life, so it was his, you know, it was his beloved child. Okay, so the Baal Turim says zekunim. You see it? Zayin Kuf Nun, it's spelled with a Yod. Zayin Kuf Nun Yod Mem. Is Rashi Tevos, Zraim, Kadshim, Nashim, and Moed. Now what about the Yod? So I'll tell you what the Baal HaTurim says. The Baal HaTurim says the Yod stands for Yeshuos, which is what the Gemara, one of the names the Gemara uses for Nezikin. Okay? So what do we have? You have Zraim, Moed, Nashim, Nezikim, Kadshim. You don't have Taharos. Interesting. Right, of the Shisha Sidre Mishnah, there's one that's missing, and there's a lot to say about that. Right? But what does it mean, Ben Zakunim Hulo? It means that Yaakov Avinu, so to speak, he learned Mishnayos, he learned the Shisha Sidre Mishnah, or at least five out of six, with his son. Paros is not on the list, but Zrayim, Kodshim, Nashim, Yeshuas, and Moed, he learned with. Okay, what's that mean? Vine Midvarav Divrei Elokim, that's such an idea. It's not just a cute, weird, strange, you know, remez. It's something deep. He's being megalos something deep. That Yaakov and Yosef studied Mishnayos together. It must be that this Baal Ruach HaKodesh, the Baal HaTurim, is telling us shemistama hayeshoresh nishmaso min haMishnah, that the shoresh of Yosef's soul was Mishnah. Everyone's connected to different parts in Torah. Everyone has different chelak in Torah. Right? Some people love Gemara. Some people love Mishnayos. Some people love Tanakh. Some people love Halacha. Some people love Machshava. Different people, their soul, right? We daven every day. V'sein chalkeinu b'sora secha. Help us to have our chelek in Torah. Of course, everyone has to learn halacha and mishnayis and gemara and machshava and etc. Everyone has to learn a mix. But there's certain things that people are drawn to, right? That's just how it is. Then there's certain parts of Torah that you're drawn to. Even within, I like mishnayis, but I'm very into kodshim. I'm very into moed. I'm very into zraim. Zeram, how do you learn Zeram? I find it so irrelevant. I can't connect to any of it. I'm not a farmer. I don't understand Trumas and Maisa. I don't understand any of this stuff. For another person, oh, it's the most geschmack. What is that? Hashem programmed our souls to be connected to different parts of Torah. So he says, apparently, from the fact that we see that Yosef was taught, he's the Ben Zakunim, he is Zeram, Kachim, Nashim, Yeshuas, and Moed, it must be that his neshama is deeply connected to Mishnah. Okay. Now, every one of us in this world is supposed to be a chariot for some expression of divinity, some expression of Elokus. Right? Chazal say that the Avos were the Merkava for Hashem in this world. In other words, what's a Merkava? Merkava is a chariot, a wagon. Yeah? So if you make yourself into a wagon that Hashem can, so to speak, ride upon in this world, that's a very chashuv thing. So the Avos HaKadoshim are referred to as the Merkava of Hashem. Right? The Merkava, the wagon, is controlled by the driver. So the goal is to make yourself into a wagon and let Hashem, so to speak, drive you through this world. And the Avos are called, in Chazal, the Merkava L'Shechina. They're the greatest wagon drivers. Right? The best at letting Hashem drive the wagon. They became the wagon. Wagon doesn't make the decisions. The driver decides where the wagon's going to go. Okay. Good. So Yosef was a Merkava. Every one of us is a Merkava. Every one of us is a wagon. Every one of us is schlepping through this world different things for Hashem. Right? So Yosef was a Merkava for Mishnah. Yosef's embodiment, right? He was the dwelling place of Mishnah. He was a wagon full of Mishnais. V'husha amar gam begashmi es zacha lirko b'merkeves ha-mishnah. So therefore, as a reflection of Yosef's spiritual level, what happens in this week's parasha? Yosef becomes a merkeves ha-mishnah. He gets to drive literally the second chariot of Paro's kingdom, but he's riding the merkeves ha-mishnah, means he is the merkava for Mishnayis, whatever that means. V'husha diek lomar asher lo, and that's what the pasuk means. Yosef rode the merkeves ha-mishnah asher lo, because it was his. What do you mean it's his? Just like spiritually he was a merkava for Mishnah, so too physically in the physical world he got to ride in the merkeves ha-mishnah. Hainu shaya madrigaso v'shorash nishmaso shaya merkava le-mishnah. That's who he was. He was a merkava for Mishnah. He was a wagon driver for Mishnayis. Again, what do you do with an idea like this? I'm not sure, but I can tell you this. I'll tell you a much simpler medrash. It's a very interesting idea. I'll tell you a much simpler medrash. The medrash says, so again, Degelach and Ephraim is telling us, Yosef was the stronghold of Mishnayis, so therefore he got to ride in the Merkeves Mishnah. Okay? But I'll tell you something else, which can really be mechazik us. It also says about Yosef that they dressed him in garments of fine linen, and they placed a gold chain around his neck, and they called out, you know, positive names in front of him, and he was adorned with things. The Medrash says an amazing thing. The Medrash says, the hands of Yosef that did not touch Ishes Potiphar were zochet to wear the signet ring of Paro, and the arms of Yosef that did not, you know, give her a hug were enveloped in beautiful clothing, and the neck of Yosef that Yosef used to look away that he shouldn't see Ishes Potiphar, that same neck was what? Was rewarded with a golden chain placed around its neck. In other words, Chazal and the Medrash say, every little detail of Yosef's, you know, royalty in Mitzrayim was a precise reward for a particular move that he made in terms of Shmiras Kedusha. It's a very powerful Medrash. It means that every little effort that we make, whether it means diverting my hand or diverting my eyes or turning my neck, or, and again, obviously, the specific example was with regard to Arayos, looking away and not getting involved in something that was asertim. But it's true for everything. Every move that a person makes in this world, that's what the Medrash is telling us, is precisely rewarded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when I use my eyes to look in the sefer when I'm learning, and when I pick up a pen to write something down, or when I use my feet to walk to shul, every step I take, literally every move that you make in this world, from the turning of your neck, right? Vayar Hashem kisar liros. Hashem saw that Moshe, what does it say? Moshe inclined his neck a little bit to look at the burning bush. The Medrash says he was rewarded for that move of the neck. Not just that he, you know, approached the burning bush. He also got rewarded for every step he took. But even the Asher Hirchen Roisho, he turned his neck a little bit. Hashem says, oh, every little effort a person makes is rewarded in this world precisely. And you see it here by Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, so yes, you learn Mishnayis, you're zochet to ride the Merkeves HaMishnah. It's just another example of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of precisely rewarding a person in the physical world in accordance with one's spiritual achievements. Okay? Okay, let's do one last piece. Okay, we're gonna run through the piece. Vayikra Shemo Tzafnas Paneach. The very next piece. They called him Tzafnas Paneach. V'targumo d'mitamran galion le. Tzafnas Paneach means the revealer of secrets. D'mitamran, the hidden, is galion le, is revealed to him. Because Yosef interpreted dreams. Yesh lefarish b'zeh dihineh v'parshas v'yishlach k'siv etzel Yaakov v'yikra shem ha'makom p'niel ki re'isi elokim panim el panim v'tinatzel nafshi Va'acher kach siv va'yizrach lo ha'shemesh kasher avar es Penuel. It says that Yaakov named the place Peniel because of his face-to-face encounter with Kel, with a god, or a malach. And then it says, wait, what's the name of the place? Peniel or Penuel? What's the name of the place? It's Peniel or it's Penuel? The first time it's Peniel, the second time it's Penuel. Anyone notice that? Tzarech lahavin ashinu elashon. Wait a minute. What's the change? First it calls it B'tchila ksiv Peniel b'yud, and then it calls it Penuel with a vav. What happened? Is it just a grammatical thing? Sometimes it's Yefes, sometimes it's Yofes, the children of Noach. Is that based on grammar? Right? Do I change your name based on you know, the context of the pasuk? Sometimes I call you Max, sometimes I call you Mix. Like, what? I don't understand. I call you Jared, sometimes I call you Jared. Shoval and Shuval. I'm saying, like, what? No? What is that? Peniel, Penuel? It's like a Hasidish Peniel. The first time he was more of a chassid, pronounces it funny. I don't know, what's the story here? V'yesh lomer b'zeh b'derech remes. So, says Degemach and Afar, I'll teach you something in Avodas Hashem. And it's very, very nogeh to Chanukah, you'll see. Ki lefamim yesh la'adam eizet tzar v'tzara chalila. Sometimes we go through difficulties in life. U'mispa'al al Hashem mitoch tzara la'arvicho. And I cry out to Hashem, from my difficulty, Hashem, I need your help. V'Hashem oseh lo neis shelo b'derech ha'teva, u'marviach lo mitzarosa v'ayidei chasto agadol. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides kindness for me. And unbelievable. I was in a really difficult situation. And all of a sudden, like shockingly, things totally turned around. U'kishiro ezeh b'chush ha'ayin ha'gashmi, shezeh ha'shkachaso yisbarach u'meito balo harvacha. When a person sees this, with my physical eyes, they say, wow, that's crazy. I davened in like... And then that happened, and that happened, that happened. And a person is just wowed by it. Kamo Maisa de Mordechai ve'Esther. Be'erev yalin bechi v'la bokarina. L'machar tzolev al tzolvav. Yesterday, Haman's about to kill me. Today, Haman is hanging from the gallows. That's unbelievable. Mamish overnight. Me'afela l'or gadol. Right? I went to sleep crying, and I woke up laughing. Be'vadai ma'min ze be'muna shlema. Shakadosh baruch hu hu sheheyer or panavalav. It's so obvious. There's no way this could have happened without God's involvement, right? I feel it's so obvious to me. B'derech ha'teva, there's no way the pieces could have fallen into place like that. It's clearly the Yad Hashem. Uv'or p'nei ha'malachayim, right? Hippuch mikishahaya b'tzara shayamamish p'nei elokim shushoresh kol adinim v'chol adinim hei misitra achar achmano letzlan u'kishahosa lo neis u'marviach u'meir lo mitzarosav Humamish pni el shuhu is basmusa de chol dinim v'chol mekatrigim cholfu v'avru. He says it's the a person, again he's saying the same thing but just more deeply. A person is encountering the shorish of all din. The sitra achra has him feeling trapped, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu shines his countenance upon him, and all of a sudden again kategor becomes sanegor. Again ukishiroi zos v'heven mamish. Kasher yira haroa ba'ayin hagashmi, shemitoch tzar Hashem himtzi lo pedus urevacha v'akol hu bashkachaso. When a person sees again with his physical eyes how everything turns itself around, and I see the hashkachas Hashem, I see the Yad Hashem, oz hu roa mamish shebitchila haya besod elokim, v'achar kach nasa besod peni el. I started off in a situation where what? I was in a state of elokim, and all of a sudden what? Peni kel. Pneikel, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned his face to me. That's what the pasuk said. What is Vayikra Shem Makom Pneiel? Ki ra'isi Elokim. Yaakov says, I saw Elokim, panim el panim, but then Pneiel. Hashem came to my rescue. Shu ha'ares Pnei ha'chesed v'harachamim v'achayim v'nosein shevach v'hodaya l'kel yizbarach. And of course I feel so indebted to Hashem and I'm so thankful and I recognize the kindness of Hashem. U'mazkir oso atova sha'oslo Hashem yizbarach. Baruch Hu, Sheheir Alav, or Pneikel. And I feel indebted, and I tell all my friends about it. You're not going to believe what happened. I was in such a dark situation. It was Mamish Midas Adin Elokim, and then Pneikel. Hashem turned Mamish Panim El Panim. Hashem looked at me and brought me the Yeshua. Sometimes that's how we see things. V'husha Amar Vayikra Shem HaMakom. Hainu, Sheyakore Shem Shalamakom Baruch Hu V'Hiskir Tovaso Pneikel Pneiel. When Yaakov came out of that difficulty and he saw that Hashem provided for him, he called the place Peniel, Sheheira Love or Pnei El, Shuach Chesed V'Rachmim. Right? the face of El, of Aleph Lamed. That's the name of Hashem that corresponds to Chesed. Was shining upon him. Ki ra'isi Elokim, I saw Elokim, I thought it was going to be a bad situation. Hu din v'shorash kol adinim. Lo hayo davar zeh pashut. Vaday shaya mamish kitrug hasam rachman aletzlan. I was in a really scary situation. And then, panim el panim v'tinatzel nafshi. Hainu Hashem yisbarach b'chastu agadu al yedeha ares panim hitzel es nafshi. And Hashem came to the rescue. However, that's called Peniel. Okay. So far, so good. What's Penuel? What's Penuel? Sometimes after Peniel comes a Penuel. Right? Yaakov called it originally Peniel. The sun was shining upon him, and then all of a sudden, he passed through Penuel. What does that mean? Here's what happens, and it's a sad story. It's the story of the guy who's looking for a parking spot, and says, Hashem, please give me a parking spot. And then mamish, someone pulls out right in front of them, and they're like, oh, Hashem, that's okay, I don't need your help, I got it. I found the parking spot on my own. What do you mean? I set that up perfectly, right? Or the other famous, you know, mushel story of a guy who's, you know, he's drowning, and right, and Hashem sends the helicopter and the boat, and then the guy, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. And then the guy drowns, and Hashem says, I sent the boat, I sent the helicopter. What do you mean? Like, you were asking for my help, and then you weren't recognizing that the help was from me. So sometimes in life we're in a dark situation, a Kadosh Baruch Hu turns everything around, mamish me'afela lo'or gadol, and a person says, wow, Peniel, wow, Hashem, you looked me in the eye. But sometimes, continues the Ramach and Efrain, last paragraph, ulefamim acharei zeh bala adam machshav l'shaye zeh derech hateva. Sometimes, unfortunately, what happens, a person thinks that it was natural. See, Hanukkah is interesting. The 24th was the day that they won the war. They rested on the 25th. And the 25th is the day of the miracle of the menorah. The Yesod V'Shor Shavodah, it's based on the Zohar, explains that we know that there are 24 letters in Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam Ve'ed, and there are 25 letters in Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we say out loud. Baruch Shem, we say in a whisper. In other words, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad represents God clear in the world, and Baruch Shem represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu operating in a more teva dikka concealment. So it's amazing. Think about it. We won the war on the 24th, because even though you could say, wow, unbelievable, a miracle, they won the war. But you know what? You could also say, military strategies, sometimes the underdog wins. It was still b'derech teva. It was still a physical war. Is it shocking that a small army beat a bigger army? Yes. But you could still argue it was teva. But when you got to the 25th of Kislev, and they saw the menorah, that's not teva. No one could argue that's teva. That's supernatural. Right? So Hanukkah, on the one hand, has the military victory, which one could argue and see as teva. That's on the 24th of Kislev, corresponding to Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol Olam Ve'ed, which has 24 letters in it. But then the 25th is Shema Yisrael, you say it out loud. It's the clear recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. So now, the goal is we should be Shema Yisrael Jews. The goal is we should be Peniel Jews. But sometimes what happens is after we get the parking spot, we say to Hashem, I got the parking spot on my own. Chaval. Sometimes we make the mistake to think, what do you mean? It was all natural. Or sometimes, another way that we ruin our miracles is that we become gaivadik to think, yeah, of course Hashem does miracles for me. I'm a great guy. He becomes full of himself. He doesn't feel indebted to Hashem. He feels that he earned miracles. He deserves miracles. He starts to have his spirals. He brags about it. But anytime we experience a miracle, and at first we feel wowed by it, and then we start to say, well, you know, maybe it wasn't such a miracle. Maybe it was, maybe I got lucky. And I start to reject the kindness of Hashem in that way. I have to quickly what? I have to quickly correct my thinking. I have to get back on track, right? So Hashem, I promise if you help me, I'll do this for you. And then something happens. You're like, well, no, Hashem, that wasn't really you. It came about in the natural way. And then I say, no, it was from Hashem. I have to say the parking spot was from Hashem. I can't say after the fact, oh, no, this was kind of natural. It worked out on its own. When a person realizes that they're starting to slip into that way of thinking that, no, it's just a natural occurrence, or if a person starts to feel, yeah, I deserve miracles, immediately a person has to push that machshava zara out of their mind. And when you do, when you push back and get back to really recognizing that, no, it's really not me, it's really from Hashem, it's really not natural, right? Because again, when you first experience the miracle, of course you're wowed by it. So you turn to Hashem, Shkoyach. But then as time goes on, you start to think, I don't know, is it really such a miracle? If you can then get back to giving it to Hashem and say, no, it was Hashem, then wow, that's an amazing thing. When a person does that, he pushes away that foreign thought and gets back to Hashem, Azai huba l'or gadol yosami b'rishona. Then he experiences the light of Hashem even more so than initially. V'zocha le'emuna gedola. Right? Because now he's no longer in that wow stage of the miracle. Now he's in the believing stage of the miracle. V'holich be'emuna hazos madrega l'madrega. And he's able to continue to have that emuna in Hashem and apply it elsewhere in his life. And therefore, kishuhu mechashev machshava zara nikra penuel. When he has this thought, it's called penuel. What does penuel mean? Hainu penuel shenifna el mimachshavto. Panu means to turn away. He's turned God away. Nifna el mimachshavto. He's pushed Hashem out of his thinking. He starts to think, well, maybe it wasn't God. Maybe it was me. Vahi kasher avar es penuel. But when a person what crosses over penuel. Hainu shekvar over me'alav v'docha machshava zara shu penuel me'alav. Like Yaakov Avinu fought against a malach. He actually fought against a malach. And he beat the malach, right? And he says, wow, Peniel, look what God did for me. And then he started saying, yeah, but I also got injured, you know? I got injured from this war. God could have been better to me. And maybe I'm just a really strong person, Yaakov said. He started to be Peniel. He started to move away from Hashem. But then the pasuk says, what? Kasher avar es Peniel, when he got past Peniel. When he said, no, afal pichin, Hashem helped me to win this battle. Then what does the pasuk say? Vayizrach lo Hashemesh v'tzolei al yirecho. The sun was shining upon him, and he was limping. But Chazal say, what? V'darshu Chazal, the sun was shining upon him, l'raposo mitzaloso, to heal him from his limp. And that's why the pasuk says afterwards, he came to Shalem, he came to a place Shalem. He was healed. V'reinu an iskar le'el, hu shabal madreger yoser gedola, vayizrach lo Hashemesh. God was shining upon him, and Hashem is sometimes referred to as Shemesh, as we see in Tehillim. Shemesh u'magin Hashem Elokim. La'atzilo mikol tzara. So again, in life, we have those moments where we see the Ad Hashem, we acknowledge it, later we start to not be as appreciative, but if we could try to push back and get back to a level of being appreciative, so then what? So then we're zocha to even greater amuna in Hashem. How does he conclude the piece? How does it connect us back to the Yosef that we started with? The pasuk said again, "Vezei Yishlomar," that it says about Yosef, "Sherimes Tzafnas Paneach." They called Yosef Tzafnas Paneach, the one who had access to the secret things. What does that mean? Dimitamran, haynu masha haya betchila hastara besod penuel, that which was hidden, right? The pasuk says, how do we translate Tzafnas Paneach? Mitamran, that which was concealed, lay galion, was revealed to him. In other words, things that most people would look at and say, it's nature. Yosef was able to reveal the surface. I know that I find this every step of the way. And again, that's the challenge in life. When you get the job, right? Yidav Hashem, get me the job. Then you got the job. You're like, yeah, my resume was really great, and my internship was really great, and I got the job, and I deserve the job. And that's called penuel. That's turning away from Hashem. At first, you're like, Hashem, thank you so much. You answered my tefillos. You know, penuel. But then you go back to penuel. You start to move away from Hashem. When you come back and you uncover Tzaftas Paneach, like Yosef, you reveal that which could be attributed to nature, right? You reveal that it's really always Hashem. And that's why Yosef, wherever he's successful, what does he say? It's on Yosef's lips throughout all these parshas. Baruch Hashem. It's not me. God interprets the dreams. He could have taken a lot of kavod for himself. He never took it. He didn't want it. It was always, I do this. I'm a merkavah l'shechina. I'm a chariot for Hashem. Okay, so we should be zochet. It's a very Chanukah diktara. We should be zochet to recognize the miracles in our life. Again, Chanukah, we have a military victory, which is, in quotes, natural. And we have a neis pach shemen, which is clearly a neis. And the goal is to realize that from the revealed miracles, we start to realize that the concealed miracles are also miracles. That's the Ramban in Parshas Bo. Ramban says, a person who pays attention to when Hashem is, steps, so to speak, out from behind the curtain, and you realize, wow, there's a God in the world. So then, when Hashem is operating from behind the scenes, I'm also able to say, I see you there. And I recognize Hashem within the Teva. And that's what Yosef HaTzadik was able to do. And that's what is hinted to in Yaakov's Peniel, and then Ovar Es Penuel, to get past Penuel, to get back to Hashem. Okay? All right. Shkoyach. Shabbos. Lichtige Chanukah. Thanks for coming to